Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
All right, take care.
Can I get a little, like, this is Chuck Lavelle, piano extraordinaire, tree farmer extraordinaire, and you're listening to the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Chicago's Progressive.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Chuck Lavelle, a keyboard player with the Rolling Stones and also a tree farmer, and you are listening to the Mike Novak.
Mike Novak.
Novak, thank you. Okay, sorry. Hi, this is Chuck Lavelle, keyboard player with the Rolling Stones and a tree farmer and a lover of trees. And you, my friends, are listening to the Mike Novak Show on Progressive Talk Radio.
On Chicago's Progressive Talk.
I'll just say for sure, and you can. On Chicago's Progressive Talk.
We're the only one, baby. Thank you very much.
You can edit that.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by Ecolon, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. He's the best thing to happen to the environment since the solar-powered hamster wheel. Great. Now he's putting hamsters out of business. Here he is. Mike Novak.
I thought it was Nike Mowak. What? You know, here we get Chuck Lavelle, one of the greatest keyboardists in the world, and you're bullying him
with a microphone.
You just totally bullied him.
I was producing. I was instructing him.
Get it right, pal,
yes,
or else.
Right.
Yeah.
Free publicity you're getting here. Come on.
What, me or him?
Him.
He didn't need it. I'm the guy who needs it.
Press is good press or bad press? Press is good press?
Well, except they say as long as they spell the name right. Well, he didn't even come close to spelling the name right.
Well, I was going to cut it up and make it sound all real good, but I like it better that way.
No, I like it that way, too.
See, we're honest here. You get the truth.
You know, our this show has so many flaws. We have so many bumps and bruises and warts. We just...
It's like
lay
a garden.
It all out there.
You got to have a couple weeds with the flowers.
That's right.
There's no way around it.
No garden is perfect.
Nope.
Except maybe Versailles. Or something like that. I bet even Versailles.
Versailles still has like grubs or boll weevils or something.
Jennifer Brennan's garden might be perfect.
She has help because of she's got like a great source, doesn't she?
I don't know that she has help. We'll find out. However, speaking of the hamster solar powered hamster wheel, that's what Jennifer Brennan is driving, apparently.
A hamster car?
Yeah,
she
has a hamster car. Jennifer Brennan is the horticultural information specialist at the Chalet in Wilmette. And she's supposed to be here right now.
She had car troubles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The hamster died.
Oh, poor thing.
So she's getting
another. Did you bury it in the backyard?
So she had to go to PetSmart, get another hamster.
Yeah.
Put it in, open the hood.
I hope it's hungry because you just dangle a carrot in front of that thing and zoom, you're off.
I don't know, but she did have electrical problems. She was telling, and maybe she'll explain it when she gets here. Jennifer, if you're listening, you want to call? I don't know if she's still waiting for the service.
Service or the train or one of the, because we're not conveniently located for most people. It's quite
the dedicated have to drive
Are
out
Are you kidding
way.
Me? Come on. We're midpoint between Zaca Tacos and Paco's Tacos, which is the geographical center of the city of Chicago.
I agree. It's the hub
Actually,
of the universe, in my opinion.
It's the cultural center of
yeah,
the city of Chicago.
I have to agree. It's like you'd... I have to agree with that. There's pretentiousness everywhere else. Not here.
So Jennifer is on her way down.
Yes.
And she will get here. And when she does, we will answer garden questions. We're just going to turn her loose and have her do that. But before she gets here, actually, well, now I need to know about the hamster wheel that that Rihanna and John Caravette have in their car. They're going to be here shortly. They are from Earth, Wind, and Solar Energy, LLC. Yesterday was the big solar tour in Illinois, and I went to their place, Earth, Wind, and Solar, out on Grand Avenue at Western, and got to see their business. And we talked a long time about the kinds of things they're doing, and they're going to be here to talk about that. Then in the second hour, well, of course, Rick DeMaio weather, as always, at 9:30 or thereabouts. We're never on time for that. But see, better that we're a little late than early, because if we did it early, people who just tune in for the weather might miss it. So we do it a little bit late, and then you get to hear some other stuff.
We totally do that on purpose every time, too.
No, we're just out of control here. That's how it works. It's a free for all.
It's live.
It's
the Mike Novak show. It is what it is.
What we ought to call it is the Mike Novak stream of consciousness. 2 hours.
Stream of consciousness. Power hours.
Power hours. I like that. Stream
Solar
of consciousness.
Power hours.
Wow. Write that down.
Say that three times fast.
In the second hour, Greentown is one of the things we're going to be talking about. Again, I said we'll be answering questions. And by the way, if you do have a garden question today, 773-838-9278. 773-838-WCPT.
Can I start with a garden question?
Uh-oh.
Well,
sure.
It's actually, I don't know how much it is a garden question, if anything. My son and I were out, and we did our first romp in the fall leaves. There's a gorgeous, just bursting red, beautiful maple tree by our apartment building. Mm-hmm. And so we were stomping in the leaves, and he wanted to save some. Okay. And in lieu of having, like, the whole wax paper remedy, what are other good ways to flatten and preserve autumn leaves for keepsakes, if you wanted to? Or, like, can you dry them out on a string like you
do
could
I
a flower?
Do I look like an arts and crafts guy?
Well, I...
And do I look like a kindergarten teacher?
Know.
I don't know.
You've never pressed a flower or saved a leaf in all your years of...
Not in about 50 years.
Well, I've never done it. My kid's only 3. Holy. He's never wanted to hang onto a leaf
You're
before.
The mom.
Well,
you tell me.
Mom, you don't just have a baby and they're like, know these things. You know, someone has
well,
to
Well, that's
tell
why
you.
You need to be sitting up studying every night
oh, yeah.
to learn these
All right,
things.
Well, then some fellow moms should call us, 773-838-9278.
And
moms
what is it you want
to
know?
Good ways to preserve and press fall leaves. To for your kids, like nature journal or to hang in the window and he could do the, you know, handprints to it, whatever.
Yeah.
But because they're gorgeous and he wanted to save them. He brought in a whole bushel of leaves and they're starting to dry and curl up.
Sure.
So,
well, I think you probably needed to do it before then.
No kidding. Like, hence me asking. I'm like, oh, that's not right.
Yeah, are you going to, Heather's going to write a book. It's going to be called The Bad Mom.
No, it's going to be Momming on the Fly. It's
okay,
like, like, I can do this. Here we go.
All right.
But we got someone on the phone ringing, so I'm going to answer it.
Yeah, get that. Let's see. We probably got an answer. All right. Second hour, as I was mentioning, Greentown is back in Chicago. It's called Greentown Chicago. It's at Columbia College. It's at their Film Row Cinema at 1104 South Wabash. John Harris, who's with an outfit called A5. Sounds like a band. But A5, he's one of the co-founders of Greentown with 7 Generations Ahead, and we will talk to him about that, which is coming up October 13th and 14th. And last but not least, I need to get the plug in right now. Did you get an answer, by the way?
No.
That wasn't it.
Nope.
Why don't you get John or Rihanna in here. I don't. They're like wandering the halls here, and I'm thinking, hello, there's a radio show going on. Can we come in the studio? I don't know what they're doing out there. Next week is very important. I'm going to mention this more than once during the show today. I'm doing a very special program next Sunday from 9 to 11, same time slot. But I'm going to be a little more serious than I usually am. It's 2 hours looking at the environmental legacy of Mayor Richard M. Daley in the city of Chicago. And I have lined up some really good guests for that, including Beth Botts, who writes for the Chicago Tribune and who has been on the show many times, has actually filled in for me. Mick Dumke will also be on the show. He's another reporter, formerly with the Chicago Reader, and I always forget the name of his new outfit. I'm trying. You know, it's one of those things you try to burn into your head. The Chicago News Cooperative. He's now with the Chicago News Cooperative. So Beth and Mick and I are going to sit here and bring in some guests, and we're going to talk about Mayor Daley's environmental legacy in the city of Chicago for 2 hours. Some of the guests include Alderman Joe Moore from the 49th Ward. We are also going to have Henry Henderson, who's with the Natural Resources Defense Council, but was at one time the director of the Department of the Environment for the city of Chicago. So he's got a little of the inside information. We are going to have people from various environmental organizations to talk about this. I hope to have somebody from Friends of the Parks, maybe Irma Tranter, who's the president. We're talking to her right now, getting her. Well, who am I missing? It's just a great group of people that, and we're going to examine this from top to toe. Because there's a lot of good that Mayor Daley did in terms of the environment. You know, you've heard me rail about recycling, but that's just so one part of the whole deal. You know, because the parks have gotten improved. We've had a lot of green space, LEED program in Chicago. Trees obviously have gotten planted by the hundreds of thousands. But we want to look at what the mayor did in 20 years to make the city green and where we go from here. What are we going to say to the candidates running for office in terms of what do you have to continue and what do you need to do that hasn't gotten done in the city of Chicago? So next week, 9 to 11, a special look at Mayor Daley's environmental legacy in the city of Chicago. And I hope you'll listen. And for those of you especially in Chicago, but not necessarily just the citizens in the city, I hope you call us and make comments and ask questions. We want to have a very serious and comprehensive discussion next week right here on the Mike Novak Show. Okay, in just a second, we have Rihanna and John Carabet in the studio. But these days, more and more businesses are going green. That's good news. They're one of the green businesses, and they're sitting right here. But the growing popularity of green service providers also points to the value of those who have led the way. WRD Environmental is one of them. Since it was formed in 1997, WRD's mission has been to create sustainable landscapes. They have always used locally grown native plants when possible in their design and build projects. They've used recycled, energy-efficient supplies, and they've sought nature's balance. Being green has simply been a part of their DNA since their founding 12 years ago. Even their location speaks to their commitment. They are in the Chicago Center for Green Technology, one of the nation's greenest buildings. And as we talk about Mayor Daley, that's one of his legacies right there. Their civic contributions towards sustainability run deep. Staff members are on the boards of a variety of green organizations, and through the years, they have donated their expertise to a number of green nonprofits. For experienced, sustainable landscape development, trust the professionals at WRD Environmental. On the web at WRDEnvironmental.com.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's fall planting time at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center, and now through October 9th, you'll find savings on everything you need to get your home and garden ready for the season. Right now, you'll save 40% off their entire stock of fall and Halloween decor. Heather's favorite. Yeah.
I'm excited about Halloween already.
She's already Facebooking it.
Oh, boy. I'm going to carve like 1,000 pumpkins this October.
Hey, listen, in our neighborhood, there's a store that has already put the Halloween decorations aside and is putting up Christmas decorations.
I'm not okay with that. Poor Thanksgiving gets so overlooked these days. I'm like, you can start the 24-hour Christmas carols and cover everything in peppermint.
You know how...
after you cut the pumpkin pie, but at least give Thanksgiving a chance, people.
We're going to start that. That concern. Give Thanksgiving a chance.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Sid's. They've got the Halloween decor. They don't have Christmas decor yet. Fall favorites like winter pansies and garden mums are in all sizes and colors, and you'll save up to 75% off the remaining nursery stock. If that's not enough, now hear this. Sid's entire stock of perennials is buy one, get one free. Fall is the season for seeding and fertilizing your lawn. It's also the time to plant spring blooming fall bulbs. Sid's has the largest selection of tulips, daffodils, iris, and other popular favorites in the area. Visit SIDSonline.com for more information on planting fall bulbs and to download the coupon for $10 off your purchase. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. Remember, when you're done planting, bring your plastic pots and cell packs back to SIDS for recycling. Now, you know why I'm playing this song, of course. It's really sort of a cliche, but I had to do it. And this is Earth, Wind, and Fire. And, of course, in the studio, Earth, Wind, and Solar, I have right here in the studio, Rihanna and John Caravette with Earth, Wind, and Solar Energy. And yesterday was the big solar tour. You guys were pretty busy over at your headquarters, weren't you?
Yes, we were. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Rihanna. Good to have you here.
Great to be on your show.
You know what I was going to do? We're going to have you talk for a little bit. I mean, as you talk. Mm-hmm. If somebody can guess her accent, I'm going to give them a prize. All right? Because I got it right yesterday. So I'm just breaking my arm, patting myself on the back. So you'll have to speak a little more. But as we talk about things, yes, Heather? Yeah. What?
There's a tweet about my leaf.
There's a tweet about your leaf?
Just press them in a book.
Press them in a book.
Simple.
Simple, correct. But don't you want... Okay. It is nice. So who tweeted that?
That was Vautrain.
Vautrain.
Thank you for tweeting, Vautrain.
Anyway, Rihanna's here with John Caravette. And like I said, if you can guess where her accent is or what it is, and I'll give you a prize. But that's aside from what we're talking about here. As I said, the solar tour was yesterday. Did you have fun showing people what you guys are doing? Your technology is like 22nd century. You showed me really some really cool stuff. You must have had fun yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday we had a tremendous turnout, more than we anticipated. It was a great show. Everyone was really interested and really excited about the technology. And I think that we open up a lot of eyes to the affordability of the technology and the ability to integrate into a lot of people's homes. They had a lot of misconceptions about what they could do.
Well, I'm sure I'm one of those people because I came in and I was asking pretty dumb questions and got a lot of my questions answered. And the last time I talked solar, last week, and Lisa Albrecht was here from the Illinois Solar Energy Association, I had somebody say to me, well, you didn't ask the right question. I said, well, why? What do you mean? What does it cost? And, you know, that's the practical question that everybody wants to know. They're not interested. You know, they go, ooh, panels on your roof. Ooh, isn't that interesting? All right, what's it cost? And what's it going to save me? And you had some specific answers. You had the one, all right, and let's go into a real cost. One of the solar arrays it was a $22,000 deal for this home. Where was this home? Do you remember, Rhianne, the one I'm talking about? It's like the second picture top from the...
Yes, that was in Glencoe.
Yes, okay.
Single family home.
All right. That cost... And what kind of... because there's two different kinds of solar that you can install. Just two, is it right now?
Well, right now we have solar PV, which is solar electricity.
Right.
And then solar thermal. Like the one that Rhianna is talking about was a solar thermal.
Okay.
And that was providing domestic hot water and space heating for that home in Glencoe.
Domestic, okay. And solar thermal, explain the concept, because one is just taking the energy from the sun and putting it right into the wires, and the other is sort of a transfer of energy, correct?
Right. Transferring the heat from the sun, the radiation from the sun, into and transferring that into heating up domestic hot water, which we use to, of course, it's basically preheating the water going into your water heater, into your existing water heater. So you don't have the 50-degree water coming into your water heater. It sees 120 degrees, and then it doesn't have to turn on, so you're saving gas there. Then we can also take the water, that heated water, and circulate it through an existing furnace, through a coil,
mm-hmm.
and then you're circulating that hot air into your home.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Rhianna, you told me was, okay, so this system, which transfers the heat down into the house, it's $22,000, but let's say they were doing it right now, mm-hmm. there would be a lot of savings on that, wouldn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the government really makes it affordable in terms of the incentives that's in place. There's a 30% state rebate, which is available every year. Usually it opens up once a year. This year it's closed. It should be opening up relatively soon. We're just waiting for that to open. But there's a 30% state rebate as well as a 30% federal tax credit. So you can save up to 60% of the cost of the system.
So if we had a $22,000 system with 60% savings from the state and federal programs, what does that come to?
Just under $10,000.
Well,
around $9,000. $9,000 average.
And suddenly, that becomes really affordable.
Yeah.
And also in light of the energy you're then saving, now, do you have any sense of how much energy they save in the house now?
Yeah. You know, with the solar thermal system, you can save anything between 60 to 80% on your utility bill on an average. So in addition to this incentives, your monthly utility bills, you're still going to enjoy cost savings on that end.
When you say utility bill, in this case, it would probably be more the gas bill.
And even greater so if they have electric heating. So if someone says, we have a client that said, I need solar electricity. And I asked them how they heat their water and heat their home. They said, it's all electric. We don't have any gas. I said, so what you really need is you need solar thermal. And so when I explained to him how it works is when we use solar thermal, we're heating up the water. So that keeps either the gas off or the electric off. In his case, it was electric. So he saw a tremendous reduction in his electric bill by going with solar thermal.
All right. That is John Caravette. Rhianna Caravette is here as well. We've got a couple of phone calls. Guessing the accent. Yeah, Rhianna.
Oh, my gosh. You put me on the spot today.
I did. That's exactly my goal. Let's go to line one and talk to Alan. Where are you from, Alan?
Bronzeville, Mid-South neighborhood.
Okay, Bronzeville. Thank you. I'm glad you're listening to Chicago's Progressive Talk, and especially the Mike Novak Show. What's your guess there, Alan?
That is a New Zealand accent.
Well, you know, it's in the ballpark. Kind of. Yeah, but not quite right. But I appreciate you calling and giving it a go.
It sounds much better than Australian, which is, they're similar. So,
you know,
yeah,
it does.
I was going to go with New Zealand.
You know, but you know what? This is kind of what I talked with Rihanna about yesterday. You're in the ballpark, okay? Thanks for calling, Alan. Bye-bye. Let's go to line two, talk to Bud. Hey, Bud. You with us? Bud.
I think we lost Bud.
Bud. Where's my crickets chirping? That's what Tom Hartman would do. Well, Bud was guessing Irish, okay? If Bud wants to call back, apparently he has a lawn question, too. So, nope, that's not it. We don't have it yet. All right. But back to Rihanna and John Karavit from Earth, Wind, and Solar Energy, LLC. So, we just talked about the two types of energy or of solar panels that you can put up, but you also handle wind as well. The question I would ask is that you've got the thermal, which is basically transferring the heat of the sun into a liquid, which transfers it into the house. Then you've got the voltaic, which is direct transfer into the power lines, and then you've got wind. Of the three, which is the most efficient?
I believe the hands down is the thermal. That's the most effective, most efficient.
And isn't that the oldest technology of the three?
Yeah, you know, solar thermal is about 3.5 times more efficient than any of the other technologies.
So why would you even use the other technologies?
Well, in some cases, you don't have a need. There's no need for that heat. They have such a really small need for domestic hot water. So mm-hmm. they're like some institutions or commercial applications where we run into a situation where they need electricity.
Maybe. One of the things that got pointed out to me also yesterday was in terms of wind. When you have one of your wind generators, well, they are, what do you call it? A wind?
Turbine.
Thank you. It can go 24 hours a day, unlike the solar.
Correct. What's so nice about the wind turbine is that, you know, you can harness the wind throughout the day. And the wind turbine, as well as the solar PV, they can work in tandem with each other, which makes a fantastic hybrid system. So you're harvesting the sun as well as harvesting the wind as well.
So you guys are about to have a grand opening on October 15th. Now, you had the solar tour yesterday, and I stopped by and saw. You're going to have balloons on it? You didn't have balloons yesterday, so what are you going to add for the big event on October 15th?
It's going to be exciting. We are going to be, you know, for those of you who haven't had the opportunity to come out to the solar tour, we are offering a personal tour of our solar thermal system, and it'll be a great educational opportunity for anyone wanting to learn about renewable energy, because what's wonderful about Earth, Wind, and Solar Energy is that we specialize in all types of renewable energy. So you would have you know, an experience to see how a functional solar thermal system is working, and then the other technologies that we have on display, you'll get some first-hand information on it. And also we are having some sponsors. Goose Island is sponsoring some Green Line beer. So if you like that, please come on over.
Oh, wow, I do like that.
We also have a local chocolatier, Kevin Robley, that will be offering a chocolate dessert. And, you know, we invite you to wash the chocolate off your hands by trying out our solar hot water.
Okay, that works for me. In terms of the future of where you're going, it's interesting. You were telling me that the photovoltaic system has about an 18%. Do I have that right? Efficiency.
The thermal the PV panels we use are up to 18% efficient.
You say up to as if that's a good thing, but I look at the thermal exchange and that's more up to 80%.
That's correct. Yeah.
So how fast is the technology expanding for the photovoltaic? When are we going to get the 50%, or can we? What's the max you can get on that?
Yeah, we've gotten, in addition to in the last 3 years, we've seen the prices come down quite a bit in the equipment. We've also seen some really nice leaps in the technology to advance the efficiency. So common was 12 to 15%. Now we're making nice incremental improvements while keeping the overall panel down and the output up. And so we're getting larger and larger outputs with the same size, and it's going to continue that trend, and the prices are going to continue to come down.
This is something, obviously, because you've put your life into this. You believe that this is the future, even of not just of industry, but the average homeowner. Mm-hmm. Would you tell people do it tomorrow? I mean, I imagine you would. It's your business, but I think a lot of folks still are out there and think this is sort of science fiction, and that it's not practical. You just, for instance, put a home in Joliet, which is the first solar assisted home in Joliet. Why did those people do it?
Well, Bill had called us, and he's a retired electrician, and he understood the technology. So it was he understood why it how it works, and so it was a great client to have that knew this is what he wanted to do. He even said something.
Something that he had also said in the newspaper was that it's not just about the costs. It's about what we are doing to save the planet. And something really nice that he said was that, he and Betty are doing their part to poke the coal companies in the eyes.
I like that. Poke the coal companies in the eyes.
Yeah.
I say punch them in the nose. Yeah. That's what I would want to do. That's a great quote. Well, I want to thank you both for coming down. Rihanna, John Caravette, they're at Earth, Wind, and Solar Energy. It's right at the corner of Grand and Western. Easy to find. You now got your big sign up there, and you got look for the display on the roof. Look for solar panels on the roof. And the thing, I don't know if this is going to play because the computer seems to be suddenly very slow, but it is no. Ooh, we got a problem here. This computer is just suddenly not happy. All right, we'll have to get Mike in.
Cook County Extension Office and Urban Garden on Twitter, pretty much following everything you say verbatim and tweeting as we go.
Oh, that's nice. That's Ron Wolford at Cook County Extension. I'm glad you're listening, Ron. Thanks for tweeting this. So they're forwarding the information about Earth, Wind, and Solar. We got another one. Voutrain on Twitter, South Africa.
Right on.
All right, Voutrain, we're sending you a prize. All right, good guess. See, that's the accent. Now, how long have you been in the States?
About 10 years now.
Uh-huh. And I got the feeling that the story of how you guys met is probably pretty interesting, isn't it? But we won't go into it now. Maybe in a future show we will do that. But it's a wonderful accent, South African. Oh. You don't hear very much here.
Thank you.
Well, thank you guys both for coming down, and we will continue. You need to keep in touch with me and keep me posted on the progress of solar improvements. And also thank you because you guys were part of the backyard makeover that we did a couple of months ago, the ultimate backyard makeover. Mm-hmm. That is Rihanna and John Caravette. We need to get to Rick DeMaio weather in just a second. Have you stocked up on your pumpkins, corn stalks, and scarecrows yet for Halloween? If not, make your way to Lurvy Landscaping Garden Center in Des Plaines, and you can help make life less scary for some people. Now, how, you ask? Well, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so through Sunday, October 10th, that's next week, Lurvy's will donate $3 from every purchase of the Invincibel Spirit Hydrangea to the Breast Cancer Foundation. And if you wear pink, you get 10% off any purchase. Now, Friday kicked off Pink Week at Lurvy's, so while you're thinking in fall colors like orange, red, and brown, think pink, too. And Lurvy's had bulbs for fall planting. They have them now. They have mums and pansies, cabbage and kale. And on October 9th and 10th, from 10 to 4 p.m., 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's Scarecrow Fest. Build a scarecrow for $1 and up. You supply the clothes. Lurvy's will supply the straw. There'll be a petting zoo, funhouse, pony rides, and the all-new train rides. For more information, visit LURVEYS.com, Lurveys. Be a gardener for life by shopping at Lurvey Landscape Supply and Garden Center through next Sunday, October 10th, at 2550 East Dempster Street in Des Plaines. Lurveys is a proud sponsor of the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Now, I have noticed here, I'm going to try this. I don't know if this is going to work. No, it's not. All right, Heather? You need to get Mr. Sanders in here because the computer won't fire anything at the moment. We may just have to shut down and put it back up. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. So while we're waiting for that to happen, let's just go to line one and talk to Rick DeMaio. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing fine, Mike. I'm sitting here having coffee, eating Apple Jacks, and trying to figure out a Rubik's Cube. Remember those things?
Yes, I do. Is that how far technologically you are in the world? I mean...
Well, it's just a way of enjoying a Sunday morning, you know. And the great thing about Apple Jacks, are you an Apple Jacks fan?
No.
No, you're not? I'm sure some of your listeners are. They're all
well, I'm sure they are, but I probably haven't had Apple Jacks in 40 years, okay?
All right, Heather, are you an Apple Jacks fan?
She's not. She slipped out of here for a second. We're dealing with some technical issues.
Yeah, I heard. All right. Okay. The great thing about Apple Jacks is that when you're all done with them, you still have like about a half a bowl of milk, and it's all that kind of sweet stuff. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, but that's like that with any of those sugar cereals.
Yeah, but isn't that the best thing about them? Isn't that, then you get to have like half a bowl of like sugary milk to go along with your sugary cereal.
Yep, exactly. I mean, that's a guilty pleasure, right?
Yeah, and then you dump that into your coffee when you don't have any cream, and you have a nice, you know, kind of sugary, sweet, you know, nectar in your coffee. It kind of makes everything go together. But
you put that in your coffee?
Oh yeah,
that's dangerous.
That's pretty good. I know.
It's all like high fructose corn syrup is what it is, you know.
Yeah, that's the way to get going on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So, especially in a morning like this, it's kind of chilly out, isn't it?
Yeah. And again, another week where there was a lot of wind. We just seem to be in a pattern where the wind kicks up every day.
Right, right. In fact, yesterday, Mike, we measured one of my observers, Patrick Scott, sent me some really good information. The Harrison Beaver Crib, that's that large piece of concrete that you see off the that building, I should say, you see off the east end of Navy Pier, measured a peak wind gust yesterday afternoon of 52 miles per hour. I don't know, did you hear about that barge that ran aground just to the north of Wilmette yesterday afternoon?
No.
Yeah.
I missed that.
A tugboat was taking a barge down to, I think, Calumet Harbor. It was on the news last night.
Well, I didn't watch the news last night. I was watching football. So.
My Badgers lost to the Spartans in Michigan State, although they never really play well on East Lansing. So they're a ranked number 11 team that's really more so ranked 21. So
Wolverines
do. I didn't check the scores yet.
Michigan won barely over Indiana.
That's right. Yeah, they pulled it out there. It was a late touchdown.
And of course, Michigan State play next week. So nobody bother me on Saturday. I've got my Saturday planned.
Yeah, you'll be cheering from both sides. Aren't
you know what? If at Michigan State, I have to root for Michigan. But once that's over, I'll root for Michigan State. Sure, I like the Spartans.
It's my home state. I'm a big fan of the coach there. I'm not a fan of Rodriguez, but I think you would agree with that. Getting back to weather, they had wave heights on the southern end of Lake Michigan. The buoy reported a wave height of 10 feet yesterday, and I think anybody who was anywhere close to Lake Michigan, if you were a block away from the lake, you can actually hear it. And then obviously you're able to see it. It had, Mike, some of the highest waves and some of the most white caps I have ever seen in about 15 years around here. It was tremendous, mainly because the wind was due north all the way from the north end of Lake Superior right through the northern end of Lake Michigan down to the south end. And when you get that kind of a wind flow, that pattern, down the 330 miles length of Lake Michigan, you end up with a lot of waves on the south end. In addition to that, obviously, we had lake effect rain, and I have to say, Mike, I have never seen that much lake effect rain this early in the year. In fact, I looked at a bunch of the the Cooperative Observer report, and O'Hare Field measured 0.26 inches of water. There were a couple of spots in the southeast part of Cook County that measured nearly a half inch of rain. And typically with lake effect snow, you don't do the normal, you know, 1 to 10 conversion for that we normally do during snow. We have 1 inch of rain and you have 10 inches of snow. Usually it's about 20 to almost 25 to 1. So this would have been probably about a 6 to 8 inch snowfall for almost all of Cook County, Will County, even northern sections of Kankakee County got in on it. And again, parts of southeast Cook County, and particularly northwestern Lake County, Indiana, had anywhere between 0.4 and 0.5 of an inch of water. And you times that by 25, and you're looking at almost 12 to 15 inches of snow in some places, if that would have been a lake effect snow event. But good thing it wasn't. But this kind of, it's interesting because I just finished doing some of the finishing touches on my winter outlook, and I looked back at the autumn of 2005 when we had all those hurricanes up and down the East Coast. And even though we had a very mild September and October, the last half of November of 2005, what happened was the tropics pushed so much cold air northward back into the higher latitudes that once we got into the latter half of the fall season and early winter season, we had this unbelievable surge of cold air that was basically building up there. And we had 3 inches of snow the second half of November. And that December 2005 was one of the coldest and snowiest ever for Chicago, at least the first half. And I don't know if you remember, but December 2005, remember that Southwest plane trying to land at Midway Airport in the heavy snow?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that was on the 5th of December. We had nearly 8 inches of snow. So while the tropics sometimes back up the cold air, sometimes they also deliver it with a couple of shots early in the season. That's pretty much what we've seen around here over the last couple of weeks, Mike.
So what are you saying? It's going to be cold and snowy? Where is this taking us?
Well, I think where it takes us is probably near normal temperatures for probably the first half of October, only because it seems like every tropical storm or hurricane that's occurred has been generally along the East Coast. None has really made it all the way into, say, the Gulf of Mexico or has pushed northward. So I think what's going to happen is you get these early season shots of cold air, and because it's coming down the lake so early, you don't really get any lake effect snow. What it does is it tends to cool off the lakes ahead of schedule. And then, of course, one of the things that you need for lake effect snow is a rather warm lake. So if we cool off the lakes early, you basically take away that extra added ingredient for lake effect snow. So I'm thinking probably we'll get probably a couple of lake effect rain events. Well, obviously, we've had two of them so far this year. And I'm still thinking probably near normal lake effect conditions for October and early November. But I'm still thinking probably a fairly active winter season, particularly the second half. So right now, some of the preliminary estimates are for twice as many events as what we had last year. We only had 15 events last year of more than an inch of snow. Even though we had 50 inches of snow, we only had 15 events. So this year I'm thinking more like about 30 to 35 events. And again, somewhere between about 50 and maybe 55 inches of snow. So it looks like to be a snowy winter once again, but I still think at least the first part of it, probably just near normal weather conditions.
Good. And I like snowy.
I know you do.
Yeah, well, for one thing, it's good for the plants, generally.
Well, yeah, keeps from getting frozen from the article if there's nothing.
Right, and that thawing and heaving thing that goes in, and then the plants lift right out of the ground. So give us this week, what are we looking for?
Well, so far it's been a fairly chilly weekend. We had a high temperature yesterday of only 56. It was only 52 right along the lakefront. Today's temperature is probably once again in the mid-50s. I think we'll see a fair amount of cloud cover throughout the day, mixed in with a little bit of sunshine, maybe some lake effect rain showers redeveloping. But it looks like the bulk of the coldest air is now pushed off to the south and east. So mostly cloudy, obviously, tonight. I think that's going to keep us from getting any frost or freeze here. So for those people worried about the possibility of that, particularly anywhere east of, say, 294, 94, even in the southwest suburbs where sometimes you can get a little bit of that sneaky frost sticking or sneaking on, rather. I don't think we're going to see that tonight. So temperatures probably upper 30s to low 40s. no frost to freeze tonight. Then tomorrow, Monday.
But when you say lower 40, what about in the city itself?
Oh, in the city itself, probably mid to upper 40s. Yeah.
Okay.
With the wind off the lake.
See, I don't care about anybody else. It's me. This is all about me. I just want to know what my garden is going to be like. But
all right. So we'll count to three, and then after three, all your listeners who are so loyal to the Mike Novak Show will turn their radios down, and I'll give you your forecast. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Mike, screw the rest of the audience. You're going to be fine. Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Good. All right. Everybody, can come back on. All right, everybody, now here's the forecast for you, which is basically no frost or freeze tonight. Temperatures, even the coldest locations, probably mid-30s, generally just to the south and west of Rockford, where they'll clear out. And then it looks good for tomorrow. We'll call it mostly sunny, high of only 60, normal high 68, and then probably near 70, or at least mid-60s during the day on Tuesday. Still somewhat cooler near the lake. And then, Mike, this is great stuff. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all 4 days, a lot of sunshine and temperatures, probably in the low to mid 70s as we get into a warm pattern once again. So
I like it.
Even though it's going to be great. Even though we've had a couple of windy days, typically as you get into the latter half of the autumn season, you'll tend to get into these 4 or 5 day periods of nothing happening, and then you'll get into a couple of days where it gets very, very windy again, either on the warm side or the cool side. So we finished up the month of September. Right around a half a degree above normal. We finished up about a half inch of rain below normal. So we can use a little bit of precipitation, but unfortunately over the next 5 days, really not much coming at us anytime soon.
Yeah.
And even though the lake effect rain we had yesterday totaled a quarter of an inch, pretty much all that evaporates by later on this afternoon. So not much in the way of any groundwater added to the soil. Absolutely none whatsoever.
And it has been dry. In fact, Jennifer Brennan is now in the studio, and we're going to talk about that and just wait a second. Go ahead.
Hi, Rick.
Who's my Jennifer Brennan
from the Chalet.
I love hearing your weather.
Hi, Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
And
how
it
are
is
you?
Bone dry out there, and people have to water,
right,
water.
Right.
Yeah.
Jennifer, it's been dry just about everywhere, and literally from the northern Illinois into parts of Indiana. Matter of fact, most of Indiana from like about Fort Wayne southward is in a severe drought right now.
Yeah, I was down in Arkansas in August, and it is just horrendous down there.
Yeah,
but even up here, it's been pretty dry towards the end of August, and September was just really, really dry. So, yeah.
And you know, Mike, part of this is actually due to the fact that the Central Plains have been dry as well. Matter of fact, I looked at Denver's climatological record for the month of September. For the entire month, they had 0.06 inches of rain.
Oh, wow.
You don't do anything with 0.06. And what happens, Jennifer and Mike, is that when you have that air mass that's so dry out across the eastern Rockies and the central and western high plains, when you bring that into Chicago, it ends up adding to the evaporative properties of the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bring in the drier air mass from out west and you bring it northward, it actually helps things dry out even more. So unless we get a huge influx of moisture, kind of like what they had over the southeast over the last couple of days with the remnants of Tropical Storm Nicole, when parts of North Carolina had nearly 18 to 20 inches of rain in a two-day period. Unless we get an infusion of tropical air coming in our direction, all the long-range predictions out to about 15 days keep us less than a half inch of water in the atmosphere. So, yeah, very, very...
No, that's not good. It's
drier. No, not at all.
Not a good setup for the spring, and Jennifer and I will talk about that in a second. All right, Rick DeMaio, thank you so much. You can go to DeMaioWeather.com. You can go to my homepage, MikeNovak.net, and click on to DeMaioWeather.com. And, Rick, we will talk next week.
Okay, and I'll see Jennifer up at Chalet when I'm looking for some mums. How about that?
Yeah, mums and pumpkins and asters and all kinds of cool stuff. And bulbs. You got to plant your bulbs, Rick.
I know. I got to do that. But no more apples. I got 2 bushels from last week. I still haven't eaten halfway through them yet.
Bake pies.
I know. Bake pies. All right. Have a good week, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. While we're speaking of tips, here's one from the Care of Trees. With the economy still shaky, if you're just about to buy a house, you don't want the trees on the property to cost you an extra couple of $1,000s, which means that you want to know how healthy the trees on your new property are. Just as a home might have hidden defects invisible to the untrained eye, Trees often have hidden defects that can make them hazardous or costly to maintain. If a tree is structurally unsound, you may need to remove it, which can turn your bargain into a boondoggle. Determining potential problems up front can help you negotiate the purchase price of your home and budget for future maintenance needs. That's why you should make the care of trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. Now, we were just talking a second ago about bulbs. Have you planted your spring bulbs yet? Now, don't panic. There's still plenty of time. And if you can't stand the thought of losing them to squirrels, deer, and other critters, why don't you try using Bob XR as a bulb protector? It will give your bulbs a chance to survive when first planted and throughout the winter, protecting them from critters like voles, deer, and squirrels. All you do is, and you're a fan of Bob X, aren't you, Jennifer?
I love it. It's great.
Greg Exidy out in... Where is he? Connecticut, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. Is a great guy, too, with the Bob X company. So what you do with the bulbs is you immerse them in straight concentrated Bob X R right out of the bottle. You allow them to soak for 3 to 5 minutes. Then you remove the bulbs from the concentrate. You allow them to air dry. And as I say, slam them in the ground. Bob X is hard. Now, you wouldn't do that, but I slam them in, Jenna.
No, I just gently put them in the ground, Mike.
I slam them in. Bob X is harmless to humans, pets, birds, and aquatic life. It contains no petrochemicals, is made from natural and recycled ingredients. Of course, always read and follow label directions. Bob X is available only at your local independent garden center. You can always order it online. And if you call Bob X, you're going to talk to a real, live human being. Well, if you want to find Bob X products, here's some of them. Alsip Home and Garden. Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois. Gardens for People in Geneva, Illinois. Anton's Greenhouse in Highland Park, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bob X. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. In the studio with me is the lovely, the vivacious, and the car-challenged...
Not anymore. AAA saved me. I had AAA Angel save me.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah.
So we were speculating that the hamster in the wheel died this morning. And
well,
you know,
just because I have a Subaru, you got to rub it in, you know.
So that's the problem.
No. Sue B and I go everywhere. And it just, you know, my battery just needed a tweak. So, you know, I'm glad it happened now instead of when it's really cold.
Yeah.
No?
Absolutely. Get that out of the way. But
you
said you've got an issue with an auto starting thing, right?
Well, it was the terminals on the battery weren't connected, they weren't conducting. So he had the coolest tool. He just shaved some metal off the top of the terminals and brushed out the inside of the connectors. And so since I had to drive 30 minutes to get down here, it's all charged back up again.
The important thing, though... Did you bring breakfast sandwiches?
Nah.
Wow. All right.
Four. You know,
she's
double
now
egg.
My hero.
Double
yes.
egg from Patty's Diner, the best place in Skokie. You know?
Mike Sanders, you should know, I had her order a sandwich specifically for you, pal.
Yeah,
did you
yeah.
see the look on his face?
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
joy.
Yeah, and there's
I
want
to say thank you. That's
there's one each. There's two bacons, and they all have two eggs on them, and one ham and one sausage. And I think Mike has dibs on the sausage.
I got dibs on the sausage.
Yeah, so
can you handle a bacon?
That's a bacon look. But, he's a bacon man. I can tell by that face.
Oh, he left. Okay. He's got to untie
bacon.
This for me to get it out.
bacon.
Do you want yours now?
I'm here to help.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. You open some sandwiches. Yeah. Let me do this real quick. What was number one and what was number two?
Number one is Cantigny. Number two is DNR Services.
I can handle that. Okay. We will get to
Who
that.
Who produces your show, baby? Woo!
You don't know what she's been doing running around back here.
I feel accomplished and under caffeinated, but I'm still going.
Do you feel the cool breeze? It's telling you that you're running out of time to plant Eco Lawn, a lawn that will become lush and green, doesn't need to be fertilized, and once established will rarely need water. But because Mother Earth is sometimes forgiving, I would say get it done this week and you will be on your way to a lush Eco Lawn next spring. Eco Lawn grows slowly, so you don't have to mow often or ever if you choose, and it crowds out weeds so you don't need pesticides. Eco Lawn is available at Lake Street Landscape Supply, 1810 West Lake Street in Chicago, or visit ecolawn.com, ecolawn.com.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantigny Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantigny isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantigny's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantigny has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantigny.org.
Well, I said we've been snubbed.
We've been snubbed
by the computer.
By the computer. Yes, the computer is down.
Yeah, it's unhappy. It's got a migraine or something.
It's just totally frozen. Mm-hmm. So, welcome to the Mike Novak Show
again. Live radio.
Live radio. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we said this at the beginning of the show. This is the way it happens.
We need to read our horoscopes today, you guys, because my car, the computer, ooh.
Has Mercury gone retrograde?
No, it just went out of retrograde.
It did.
Yeah, it's not going to be retrograde.
Oh, stop it! All right, Jennifer Brennan is here in the studio with my producer. Heather Fry and me, and right after 9 o'clock, call us, 773-838-9278. We will answer all of your gardening questions. I hope you stick around. CNN News is next. We'll be back. Are you ready?
I am ready.
The computer's down, so we got to do this live. Mm-hmm. All right. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by. Let's start with
the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
And by Eco Lawn, the ultimate low maintenance.
Drought-tolerant lawn.
Yes. You got to try to remember all these.
Yes, drought-tolerant lawn.
Okay. And by SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Back to Nature Compost. Yeah. Life doesn't start with the seed.
It starts with the soil.
And by WRD Environmental. Creating sustainable landscapes since 1997.
That's it.
Have we got everybody?
I think so.
I do, too.
See, now, this is when you know you're too technology-dependent because you can't remember, even though you hear it every week, you know, but it's almost like the air you breathe. It becomes just one, you know. You don't notice it until it's gone, that it's gone.
So we did SIDS, WRD, Back to Nature, Eco Lawn.
Awesome.
The Care of Trees. I think that's it.
I hope so.
Hey, sponsors, I'm glad you love me.
I hope they do. We're sorry if we forgot you.
You continue to love me. Okay. It's the Mike Novak Computerless Show on Chicago. But the best news.
This is why you keep a radio. This is why you stay on the radio. This is why an old technology is still useful and good, because they don't always work, those computers.
Well, you know, actually, the computer that's down is the one that plays.
Just the commercials.
Just the commercials. That's
all. And the legal IDs and the disclaimers and, you know, all that legal stuff.
Right, yeah. Who needs that?
We'll be fine. You know, that's about trees. We hug them here. We like them.
The legal stuff's overrated anyway.
I'm sure the FCC will love to hear you say that there.
But we still have the CD player.
Yes. We still have microphones, a board.
Old school technology.
Yep.
We still have Twitter.
Yep, we do. We can tweet. We're not completely cut off
it's
from the
weird.
Outside world.
So we can't play commercials,
the phone
but
works,
we can tweet.
773-838-9278. Gardening questions, or if you just want to make fun of us.
No, gardening questions.
Gardening questions preferred.
Because Jennifer Brennan is in the studio from the chalet in Wilmette, and I know that you just came back from... You go to all these great conferences,
I'm very
jealous because you get to geek out at all these places. What was the latest one was what?
Speaking of which, this was so cool. I brought my goodie bag with all this stuff in it. Okay, this one was the OFA Disease, Insect, and Plant Growth Management Conference. Oh, my gosh. And we were all from
the
same planet.
Disease, Insect, and Plant Growth Management Conference.
Yeah, it was way cool. The best plant pathologists and the plant entomologists from across the United States and Canada. Oh, man.
Well, and Canada.
And Canada. It was so cool. It was so cool.
Why was my head bigger?
Does my head look bigger?
It's just the hairdo.
That's what my husband said. Honey, you look more fifi. You know?
More fifi?
Yeah.
What in particular really impressed you about the conference?
The emphasis, and you would have loved this, Mike, because the emphasis on going with more biocontrols and, you know, and using, you know, the beneficial, you know, fungi and, you know, and insects that would control other insects, especially in greenhouses. That was one of their emphases, is, you know, really reducing chemical use in greenhouses and, you know, and using more biological controls.
That's interesting.
It was fascinating.
Now, what about the downside of that, where I'm sure the average person hears that and says, well, what if they get loose and they, like, take over the world?
No, the reason it's taken so long for it to come to this point is they're doing lots and lots of research to mm-hmm. make sure, you know, that's controllable.
That we don't have another Asian...
Ladybug.
Yeah.
Or you're talking about, you know, that was actually used as, you know, they were controlling aphids on pecans down south.
Is that where that got let loose?
Yeah.
Yeah. For folks who are listening, you know, the orange ladybugs that come out at this time of year, and then they get on the side of your house where it's warm, and they're looking for a place to stay.
It's usually white houses because they're from the granite bluffs in Japan that are white, and that's where they overwinter.
Ah.
And so they go to white houses on the south and west sides, and then crawl in the nooks and crannies and stay there.
And people say they bite, and at first I would go online or I would talk to people, and they would say, no, they don't bite. Yes, they do. Okay, I've been bitten by those
mm-hmm.
things. They pinch. I mean, it's not like your arm is going to blow up to the size of a football or something.
It does never draw blood.
No.
But you can feel it.
They do pinch.
Mm-hmm.
And folks also have asked me, well, do they do any good? Are they, you know, if they take over and outrun the red ladybugs, is that a problem? Well, apparently they still do what they were brought over to do.
Sure, they still eat lots of bad insects,
mm-hmm.
so they're doing
they're
a
just,
good job.
But they're still a nuisance too. They've just
they've crossed over that fine line.
Yeah. So you know, there's other insects that are nuisances as well that can still do good things.
Box elder bugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're stinky, aren't they, when you squish them?
Yeah, but they just there's just
what
lots of
the
them.
What about the stink bug thing that's going on now? Stink bug has suddenly become a big deal in the entomological world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I haven't been really paying attention to it, but I just keep seeing these news stories about stink bugs, and I just thought, have you been following this?
Yeah, there's a predatory stink bug, and you know, they go after caterpillars. So if you're a butterfly gardener, sometimes those aren't really good to have in your garden,
mm-hmm.
you know. But they can also be, you know, beneficials, you know. So that's what everyone's looking at, is the difference between beneficials and the plants that actually attack the plants,
mm-hmm.
or the insects that plant
the question. I always like asking in garden talks is I say, okay, praying mantis, good insect or bad insect? And everybody's hand goes up for good insect. And sometimes maybe one or two go up for bad insect. And I say, you're both wrong. It's neither.
It just eats whatever it wants to eat.
And including
itself.
They'll cannibalize.
Well, cannibalize. Well, just, but it's just the females that do that to,
yeah,
the,
I know,
to the males.
But, you know.
You know,
what
was that, Heather?
I was just going to say, that's how nature intends.
You know,
I just said,
don't you love being outnumbered?
I can shut off both of your microphones.
You're surrounded
all right?
By
I can shut them off, you know.
By a manner of your own choosing.
You know, but if you don't hear from me after 11 o'clock, it means
if you're not
you're taking
week,
over.
And it's me and a bunch of girls. We didn't bury Mike in the garden. Mm-mm.
It's a good thing I brought the breakfast sandwiches so we won't have to worry about, you know, cannibalizing Mike.
We don't want to cannibalize them. We just want to use them for fertilizer.
How did I lose control of the show?
I have actually some questions via Twitter for the both of you.
All right, good. Let's go with Twitter questions. And of course, call us at 773-838-9278. I get people who call. Here's what happens, and it's partly my fault, but it's just the way I do my show. I'll be talking about, like, solar power, and in the middle of it, somebody will call and say, what should I do for my lawn right now? And I'm like, I can't talk to you about that right now.
What is the best way to winterize your lawn? You know, get it ready for the winter season. That's a question that we got.
Is that one of the tweets here?
That was actually a phone question we had earlier. We lost. It was Bud.
Oh, right.
That was his phone question. He wanted to know. He's ready. He wants to get his lawn ready for winter. What does he do?
What are you telling people right now, Jennifer?
The number one thing, because this was the worst summer in 30 years, especially for the turf, because we were so wet early that when the roots were supposed to be forming, they couldn't. So they went into the growing season with very, you know, deficient root system.
You've been reading the turf report that...
I have a copy for you.
Well, I get it online.
Oh, don't you love it? He is just my savior. I love Dr. Settle. Derek Settle.
Just, yeah.
Brilliant. But you have to get him on your show. Oh, he'd
be so good. I'd love to have him
on. Oh, and he'd be great. But anyway, back to Bud's question. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it was so hot and then so dry at the end, the turf just collapsed. So the best thing you can do right now is watch your rainfall and water, give it an inch of water once a week until the ground freezes solidly. So if you have an irrigation system and they have to shut it down, keep a hose available so you can bring a sprinkler out and water. Get it fertilized right now because this is when it's going to be using all that nutrient to build the new roots and the new rhizomes.
But you don't want a high nitrogen fertilizer at the moment.
You know what? If you didn't get any nitrogen on at the 1st of September, mm-hmm. do it now.
Okay.
Because, you know, this is the time of year it uses the most nitrogen of any other time of the year. You can actually get by doing a pound and a half of nitrogen application this time of year, whereas the rest of the times you only put a half a pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. So you can get by doing a pretty high nitrogen.
So even more nitrogen is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's going to use it all right now because it is trying to recover. Now,
the other thing mm-hmm. I would say is that's going to help is add some compost to the lawn.
Absolutely. Core aerate. If you get it core aerated and then over, you know, just sprinkle, you know, compost over the surface after you have the holes. Even if it's not compacted, core aeration is like root pruning, and it causes the roots to grow more deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really help that, you know, that lawn recover from the stress. I mean, this is the worst stress that we've had, honestly, in 30 years. You know, so it can recover.
The other thing I'm hearing is that grub problems are through the roof.
Well, you know, yes and no. They came late. Mm-hmm. They came late because of the heat and the drought. The eggs didn't hatch until late. And so it's really spotty, you know, in localized areas. You know, we did see some pretty serious damage.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the best time of year to overseed, you know, just reseed it.
Yeah.
Keep it moist, you know, consistently moist, and it'll germinate more quickly than it will any other time of the year.
I tell folks right now is mm-hmm. the best time to work on your lawn. And I think one of the best things you can do, you're talking about fertilizer and we're talking about core aeration when we're talking about adding compost, but overseeding. I think folks forget that part of the step, you know?
Honestly, it's one of the best things you can do, and it's just like adding a new, fresh mix of disease-resistant, you know, grass seed to your lawn, and that becomes a dominant species, and if you go with quality companies that update their blends every year based on the disease resistance from the previous season, you can have a great lawn. You can have a great lawn by the end of this month.
And let's make clear what that is when we say overseeding. I have a feeling that some folks don't even understand what that is, and it's basically
they think that's too much seed, but that it's you're putting the seed over the top of an existing lawn.
Right, you're putting it mm-hmm. on your lawn. You're scratching the surface of the lawn, raking the lawn, to get a so that the seed can get started properly. You don't want to just throw it down. You want to rough it up a little bit so it has a place to germinate. But yeah, you, wherever your lawn is now, throw more seed on it, especially if it's sparse.
Yeah, exactly. You don't even have to rough it up. It, you know, if the lawn is sparse, the seed will work. It's, you know, they're pointed and they have these little, it's like an arrow. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, with the rain, it goes right down and gets in contact with the soil.
Well, the problem is if there is no rain, and some of us got rain yesterday, but a lot of people did not.
No water. That's how I started. I said water, water, water. You know, that's the most important thing. And then for your plants too, your trees and shrubs. Oh my gosh, you know, you got to save them. But you know, with the lawn.
Well, I think my next Care of Trees tip is, I hope it's about watering. Yep, and it is because that's the.
I didn't even know that. I mean, they were.
Well, I've been looking at the weather too, and I want to make sure that people get the word that it really hasn't had enough rain, especially if you started a tree this year or last year. You know, in the first two or three years, they're really vulnerable. A lot of folks, and one of the things I've said over the past few weeks is don't be fooled by cool. People equate
Seriously.
Cool with wet. Just because it's cool doesn't mean it's wet.
It's dry, dry, dry.
Yeah. We have a couple of other questions. Who have we got there on line one? We have Marge from Plainfield. Hi, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, Mike. I'm calling because my sister and I are both infested by these little gnats. They are, they fly, they crawl. The only common denominator we can figure out is some potting soil. I potted a plant for her, and she lives in Chicago, and I used the additional potting soil, and I got Miracle-Gro, and I got a big bag, and I used the additional and repotted a lot of my plants. And yesterday we were discussing it, and that's what we thought is the only common denominator between our two houses. And the thing is that she looked at her plant, and she said there were just bugs all over it, these little bugs. But I looked at all my plants. I put all my plants outside on the porch last night on my deck. I covered them with a sheet in case it got really cold or whatever. And I've looked at them this morning, and I don't see one bug on any of my plants.
Were they on it when you set them out last night?
I didn't see any on my plant, whereas she saw it on her plant.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you guys buy a new plant at any point in this when you were doing this?
No, I repotted. It was philodendrons, and I had just cut them and potted them, rooted them in water, and then potted them. And the one I gave her, the one I repotted for her was not even a repotting. It was just I gave her new dirt into a new pot she had and some of my philodendrons.
When you say now the soil you added, it was all in a bag and it was sealed.
It was all in a bag. It was a big bag from Walmart of Miracle-Gro.
And it was sealed, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
It sounds to me, and Jennifer, you can. Agree or not, it sounds like fungus gnats to
me. Yeah, are the insects black and very small?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fungus gnat.
And generally that's caused by a very wet soil, and they breed in the soil and they lay eggs, and then if you keep watering, it continues the cycle, and you have to break the cycle somehow.
And the larvae's in the soil feeding on the organic matter of the soil or even the roots if you have high enough populations.
The thing is, I don't think you brought it in with the soil.
I don't either.
I think it was there, and somehow you just you just noticed them or something, but I'm betting that the plants are overwatered at the moment, and you might want to let them dry out. Now, you said you put yours on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not a bad idea because they don't really survive real cold temperatures.
Well, the trick is that they just don't move when the temperature's below 60.
Yeah.
So they're probably down on the soil surface just hiding until they warm up again.
Yeah.
How would you then say that my sister saw them all over the plant itself that she had at her house.
Well, usually fungus gnats don't stay on the plant, so she it sounds like she might have like aphids. But are they this? Have you compared the two insects?
No, she said they're not aphids, and we kind of compared them, and they're kind of the same. Black, real tiny, they fly.
Yeah,
and
that's a fungus gnat.
That's fungus gnat.
And they find me if I'm sitting reading my newspaper. They'll find me, but you can never swat them. You know, you can't catch them.
Well, they're looking for heat. They're kind of heat seeking.
They're
heat seeking. So if a human's near them, they'll buzz. They'll buzz around you because
you've got
more heat.
They don't cause
the
any problems. Really, they're a nuisance. They can, you know, they feed on the organic matter. People just don't. You know, it's just annoying.
Yellow sticky traps are the best way to control the adults, but you have to hang it. You know, so that it's hanging vertically because their eyes are set so that when they fly by, if it's not hanging vertically, they can't see it. You can't just lay it on a counter. And so they're attracted to it. They get stuck to it, and then that gets rid of your adult populations. There are insecticides you can add to the soil that kill the larva, and that stops the life cycle too. Or you can also do a trick where you put a half inch of coarse sand on top
I've
of
heard
the
about
soil.
That. Yeah.
And then the larva, when they pupate, they can't emerge through the soil to come out, and that stops the life cycle too.
And so the other thing is you can control them to some degree by cutting back on your water.
Mm-hmm. You
watering.
Can let the soil get a little dry in between waterings. And then
soil is very dry, but it does look like it has mold on the top of it.
Then that means it's probably more moist than you think.
Yeah.
And so what would attribute these bugs then also to being in our bathroom, being places...
Because they look for water, so there's more humidity in bathrooms because of the water in the toilets, if there's little drippy faucets, then they're like, ooh, there's water.
Are there any plants in the bathroom?
No plants in the bathroom, but I did find a whole bunch of them stuck to the toilet, and it was it just grossed me out. But I had my little grandson here, so I figured maybe they went to the smell of the urine. Could that be?
Well, it's more moist. It's more moisture.
Yeah.
It's more moisture.
Okay. Yeah.
It's more moisture.
See, they're propagating in the plant, and then they become adults, and they fly around looking for moisture. And
so should I throw my
light
plants out?
What?
Should I throw my plants out?
No. There's all kinds of stuff you can do.
Yeah. I'd start with is, among the things you could do, you could even remove, like, the top inch of soil in the pot.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. Just put the soil. Just put the sand on top of it.
The sand even better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just put the sand on
top.
How
far do they go down into the soil?
Oh, all the way down through.
Oh, they do.
They're all the way down through the root system. They're all the way down through the whole pot. And
never
they like
mind
it
what
moister.
I just said.
Yeah, they like it moister. So if you have your plants in saucers and you water them and you leave them standing in saucers that have moisture in them, that really encourages that's like the recipe. If you want fungus gnats, do that.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
don't let them sit in a saucer of water.
The point here is that most people overwater their plants indoors.
Uh-huh.
I mean, 90% of the people who care for plants indoors, except for the ones who just forget they're there, overwater them. They kill them with kindness, and especially now as we get into the fall and we have less light and less heat, the plant can't transpire as fast, and this is when you need to start withholding some of that water, and then it'll also take care of things like fungus gnats, but I think the sand control might be the best way for you to go.
So you just think it would be a coincidence that there was nothing in this Miracle-Gro potting soil I bought?
I think it's a coincidence. I think you happen to do the potting soil and you happen to notice the gnats because you were working with the plants.
Yeah.
Maybe they went to my sister's house on the plant I gave her, which was from my plant.
Oh, I guarantee it.
Okay.
So
well, thank you.
Your sister ought to write you out of her will at this point, is what I'm thinking.
I don't think so.
I'm kidding.
So coarse sand take off an inch of soil, put some.
No. Don't listen to me. I ignore that bit of advice.
Okay.
Coarse sand. Put how deep? About
at least a half inch.
About
there's
a half
one
inch.
One right in front of me on my paper that I wrote your number on. Dang.
But the most important thing is don't let your plants sit in saucers of water.
Right. It's not as much water, and you'll see the problem diminish.
So what does a person do who has the ceramic pots and they overflow so fast?
You just water less.
Just water less.
Because you're right, with ceramic pots, they hold the water better. It's one of the advantages. You know, it depends on the plant you have, because some plants really like to have water, and that's when those are the ones.
They're mostly all philodendron. All philodendron. I won't even say mostly.
Philodendron can get dry to the. You use your finger as your indicator,
okay,
and touch the top of the soil. If it feels moist before you water, you need to wait 3 more days and then touch it. And then it likes to be dry to the touch. And make sure you don't have any standing water in saucers. That's going to be the number one rule. That's your number one rule you have to follow.
Okay, and so how am I eventually going to get rid of them just flying around in my house?
Yellow sticky traps.
The yellow? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, yellow.
You know, the other thing you can do, and I've done it, vacuum cleaner. Because they're not particularly fast flying, and if you get the hose out, and
that's good.
Can suck them right into it.
You think they're not fast flying until they're in front of your face when you're reading the trivia.
Well, yeah, but just try a vacuum cleaner, and then you'll see how slow they are. Actually, it's better than fruit flies. They're hard to get in the vacuum cleaner, but fungus gnats comparatively are, and I've battled them all, of course, in my house.
Okay. All right,
Marge.
Thank you so much. I sure appreciate it. Your show is great.
I appreciate that, too. Thank you
so
much.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We got a question from Nancy. Hang on, Nancy. We're going to get to you. We got one tweeted to us from My Skinny Garden. Didn't we get one tweeted from Tree Doctor MD?
Yes, sir, we did.
Sorry, I had your mic off.
Let me find that. Yes, sir, we did. It's right.
I wonder who the Tree Doctor MD is.
Oh, you know who that is.
Is that?
It's Scott Jameson.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
On Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And he's looking a place to get leaf mulch, and I think you know the answer to that.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll get to that. And what was... the other question we had from My Skinny Garden is peach leaf curl.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, and it must be organic.
Well,
hold that thought. You talk about that.
Is Earth-Friendly Natural okay also?
Earth-Friendly Natural?
You have to use a sulfur-based thing.
Yeah.
And they've taken sulfur lime away from us, so that's
well, we'll
gone.
Talk about
that's
that in a
gone.
Second, too. Okay, hang on. Here comes October, and maybe you should be thinking spring, which... What I mean by that is that if you improve your soil now, you will be ahead of the game next year. One of the best things you can do to add a layer is to add a layer of Back to Nature cotton burr compost to your garden bed or lawn now. And I know, Jennifer, you love Back to Nature.
I love it. It is the best. It lowers the pH of very alkaline soils. It's the best to bust up clay. It's the best. It is the best.
And we say that on the show. It's a clay buster.
Oh, man, I love that stuff.
Cotton burr compost is a great food source for beneficial soil organisms. It's those organisms that are making your plants healthy. Back to Nature cotton burr compost feeds the organisms that feed your plants. Late summer and early fall is a great time to rejuvenate your soil and prepare it for the spring. And as we said, there's still time to work on your lawn. And one of the things you can do to improve the soil under your lawn is to use Nature's Blend with Alfalfa and Humate by Back to Nature. Give both products a try. Go to backtonaturecompost.com to find the locations and the specific products they carry. Or go to Castle Gardens in Volo in Richmond, Bob's Salt and Feed in West Chicago, or Paradigm Gardens in Lake Geneva. Okay, that's number two. Let's see if this works. Maybe.
Hey, gardeners.
There we go.
Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
It's fall planting time at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center, and now through October 9th, you'll find savings and everything you need to get your home and garden ready for the season. Right now, you'll save 40% off their entire stock of fall and Halloween decor. Fall favorites like winter pansies and garden mums in all sizes and colors are here, and you'll save up to 75% off all remaining nursery stock. If that's not enough, now hear this. Sid's entire stock of perennials is buy one, get one free. Fall is the season for seeding and fertilizing your lawn. Remember we talked about overseeding? We talked about fertilizing. It's also the time time to plant spring-blooming fall bulbs. SIDS has the largest selection of tulips, daffodils, iris, and other popular favorites in the area. Visit SIDSonline.com for more information on planting fall bulbs and to download the coupon for $10 off your purchase. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills and Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. Remember, when you're done planting, bring your plastic pots and cell packs back to SIDS for recycling. And you'll appreciate this too, Jennifer. The September-October issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is on the stands. And if you need a copy, well, you do need a copy if you have a Zone 5 garden. That's us around Chicago, though it felt like the Arctic Circle this morning. Of course, I'm just weaning.
Wonderful. It was invigorating.
It was nice. It was a nice morning.
It was invigorating. Oh, it's great.
Just wait till we get to January. Anyway, have you harvested your spuds this year? What? You've never grown potatoes? Well, next year is the year, and there's a story on how to do it right. And how about you do-it-yourselfers? You can learn how to build your own garden bench without power tools, though it might help. And did you know that your lawn weeds are speaking to you, probably in your sleep, but they're telling you things about growing conditions in your yard? Of course, there's my column on the inside back page. I think it's being investigated by the feds, which is an even better reason to read it. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is on newsstands all over the area, but why don't you have a subscription? Go to chicagolandgardening.com. And you think I'm kidding? No, you should get this magazine. This is something you should have. And, you know, it's the magazine for our area, for Chicagoland. Call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot.
Don't it always seem to go?
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got?
Yeah, it does. Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Jennifer Brennan is in the studio. I just got a reminder from Valtrain, who won. Do we know what we're sending him yet?
I'm going to call him after the show. And what do you want to send him? I don't know what you want to give him.
Are you sure it's a he?
Or her? No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, you just assumed
that person,
it was a he.
I don't know. It's more coffee.
And Valtrain wants us to remind folks, yeah, today is Hennapalooza. It's a tour of Chicago chicken coops until 3 p.m. Now, if you want more information on that, I had it up on last week's show. So you would have to go to my website and go to information from past shows and go to September 26th, and it's all there.
I'll tweet the link as well.
I would play the chicken song, but it's on the computer that's dead.
Oh, thank goodness.
No, not that chicken song. It's the one that goes... Oh, never mind. Hennapalooza. Yeah, if you want to see chicken coops in the Chicago area, go to my website. And there's also... I don't have the other website. I'll just send you to mine. It's the easiest thing for me to do. Jennifer Brennan from the Chalet in Wilmette is here. If we got somebody online, what question are we going to next? Get off of Facebook and tell me what's going on here.
Nancy, and I was not Facebooking. That's the link it takes you me to.
Oh, okay.
From your website.
Oh, that one.
Mister.
Missy.
Get me off Facebook.
They are going to find me dead after this show. we going to Nancy?
Yes,
okay.
Line 2.
Nancy on line 2. Hi, Nancy. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, my question is about my parkway trees. And speaking of, you don't know what you had till it's gone. Actually, I did. I love trees, and I had 4 locust trees in my parkway. Oh. They, over the course of a couple of years, they really went downhill. And this year, I really noticed this black, sooty, a fungusy, it was so dark and very, very almost fuzzy looking. But the bark fell off the trees and they died.
And these are honey locusts?
They were planted, I believe, in the late 60s. Yeah, honey locusts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were a form of honey locust, and they just, the bark just, they shed the bark, and they had this black-looking stuff on them, and...
It's on the bark?
They were cut down.
On the bark or the leaves?
The bark.
Hmm.
And now... last year, we noticed that, now, that was on the side of the building, and then in the front, there were two locusts. They seem to be doing okay in the parkway. And then there's another hackberry, and then my neighbor has a hackberry that got planted. The two hackberries were planted at the same time. They both have this black stuff on them with, and the bark is coming off them, although they seem to be very green and leafy.
Well, okay, let me ask you, Heather also wrote that you said the Forestry Service cut down some of the trees?
Yeah, they cut down the four that had no leaves.
Well, they were dead, obviously, if they had no leaves, yeah.
Well, actually, they did have leaves. One of them didn't. But the other three had some leaves. I mean, they weren't, you know, I was thinking maybe we should just take limbs off of them and try to rejuvenate them, because I know in Wicker Park, in the little park at Division in Ashland, they kind of rejuvenated the locusts by they kind of topped them, and as I recall, several, many years ago.
Well, the forestry departments are not going to top trees unless they're electric wires.
If they're in a right of way, then...
Yeah, but topping trees is never an accepted method of dealing with them. I'm kind of curious, first of all, what's the question you have about this?
Well, do you have any idea what was wrong with the trees?
Did you ask the forestry department why they were cutting them down?
No, I wasn't there when they came because I didn't request that they do that.
Did they just show up and do this, or did you know this was going to happen?
No, I didn't know this was going to happen.
Wait, so you went to work and you came home one day and the trees were gone?
Uh-huh. Basically.
Really?
Yeah, the trees were cut down. And I called 311 to ask for the forest, to ask for a number for forestry, and she... wouldn't give me one, and she said I had to file a Freedom of Information request to find out why the trees had been cut down.
That seems excessive.
So I wound up giving her my phone number, and she said that she would that they would contact forestry, and maybe somebody will call you back.
I'll tell you I'm sorry, Jennifer, did you want to jump in here?
Well, you know, that's the problem with parkway trees, if you want to say problem with parkway trees, is that they are owned by the city.
Right,
and,
I know.
You know, and so whatever they want to do, they can do. They don't have to ask you. They can do it. And unfortunately, then people realize that, okay, well, they're owned by the city, then I don't have to take care of them. And that's one of the problems we see with parkway trees. You know, they don't get watered the right way. And so they're very stressed, and they're so close to the extremes of the pavement, and they're usually lodged between a sidewalk and a street, and so they're under the most stress of any of our landscape plants. And people just say, well, they're not my trees, so I don't have to worry about them. And you know, but then when they get cut down, then you're like, well, they're my trees. So
Jennifer,
yeah,
I just want to say this, though, that I have requested many, many trees to be planted in the neighborhood, and I really do take care of the trees. We watered them.
That's great. That's wonderful.
I mean, I really love my trees. I mean, I know that they're the city's trees, but they beautify and, you know, keep my building cool, and I love to look at them. So even though they weren't the greatest trees, they never were, even from, you know, we bought the building in about 87. They were never really nice, the really full, nice locusts, but they were there, and you know, we took care of those trees, so it wasn't as though, you know, they were neglected.
We really missed
the trees. And actually, why I'm asking is, I know that forestry. I'm wondering, because I want to get trees replanted in the parkway, but I'm just wondering, is there something in the soil that caused this problem? Is there, you know, should I Because I like the look. I always like the four locust trees all in a row. Mm-hmm. But is it better? Should I request different trees, four different trees, or maybe two of two different species?
I don't know is whether you have a say in it. For one thing, I talked to Suzanne Malik McKenna, who's the director of the Department of the Environment. Now, she's not in forestry, but she knows her stuff. And she said the city's moving away from planting honey locusts because they've been overplanted in the city. And they really have. Like ash trees were, and now we've got emerald ash borer, and we're going to lose a lot of ash trees. Well, we don't even know what's coming down the road that's going to affect honey locusts. So we need to move away from overloading our streets with honey locusts. So you're probably not going to get a honey locust tree.
No, I know. I was listening to your show when she was on, and I heard her talking about locusts and Norway maples.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to get a Norway maple, and that's a good thing. You know what? I'm not even sure you get a say, but I can check into that, because I know folks at the Forestry Bureau in the city of Chicago, and maybe I can find out some more information about what happened across from your property there. Go ahead.
I know you can. I've got the list. I took it off the internet of the list of trees that they plant, and I know that I can make a request.
Okay, good.
For specific trees. I don't know if I'll necessarily get them.
Right.
But I really wanted to know what was wrong, so that I don't want what was wrong with the trees. I don't know if it's in the soil, like, you know, it's something that I need to deal with in the soil first.
Okay, first of all trees in a parkway have serious problems. It's hard.
It's just
for
stress.
Yeah,
there's a lot of extra stress.
Right, a lot of stress growing there. And it's tough for trees in the city. And I read somewhere that the lifespan of an average city tree is about 7 years, okay? Now, if it's in a park, it's going to be a lot easier, or not, because the root systems get trampled there, too, and compacted and so forth. But the point is, without having seen the trees, it's really hard to make a diagnosis here. I mean, you can say black stuff, and I don't know what you're talking about. Now, if you have photos you could send me, if you could show me the location, send me something, and I will do some checking around to see what I can find out about this.
Are the trees gone now?
They are gone.
Oh, so we can't get a sample.
But you said there's on some of the other trees you had the same stuff.
It looks to be the same.
Okay.
The hackberries seem to be infected with it, although it seems to have skipped the two locusts. Although I do have a locust on my property in the front, and it was a really tall, skinny thing, really tall, and it's lost all of its leaves from the top down. We're pretty sure it's dying.
Well, when did it lose its leaves?
It started last year, but this year it's been much more dramatic.
Yeah.
This summer was the worst year we've had in 30 years.
It's been a terrible summer. Some trees just got totally knocked down by stress.
Seriously.
I was talking to the Morton Arboretum, and their amelanchiers, their service berries, lost all of their leaves at the beginning of September, like mine did.
Yeah.
It just went whoop, and I went, holy smoke, what happened here?
They said, we're out of here. It's just been too tough. We're just not going to
support
these leaves anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's fall. We're getting rid of these guys. They're sapping too much water through us.
So at any rate, I need to move on, but what I'd like you to do is send me anything you can. If you want to take photos of the hackberry, if you want to take photos of the location where the trees are, send me your address, and I will check and see if I can't get some answers for you.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
I really appreciate it. You listening to the show and asking a question, and I'll do what I can.
Okay, thanks a lot, because I didn't know if this was something that was other people had experienced in the city that you might have known about. It was just so bewildering, and my building looks so I just miss my trees. And
I know, and
I
I'm so sorry.
Those things
happen, and you want to plant something that's going to survive. And, you know, part of what's you saw the tree list, and you're obviously a responsible citizen because you went online to see what they offer. No, most people don't do that. And the trees they offer are going to be trees that are likely to survive in an urban setting. They're not going to plant something that's going to kick off quickly. And Well, let's see what we can do. I hope I can get some information for you.
Okay, thanks
a lot. And send it to Mike at MikeNovak.net, and we'll talk some more.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Nancy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. She sounds so sad.
I know.
And I don't blame her. You know, you lose trees like that.
It's like losing a family member, yeah. I think, because it's, you know, you see it every day and it's gone.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yes, Heather?
Twitter. Your Twitter's ablaze now with tree information.
Oh.
Got, the mayor actually has said no to more honey locusts some time ago. Maybe Rom will like them.
Whoa. No more.
No, it's too sweet a name for him.
No honey. I agree with the mayor. Actually, we're done with that. We planted way too many of those. Let's. Right. I mean, they're great trees, but all right. We got other questions we have to get to. I got to take care of this business, and we also have to talk to the folks from
Greentown Conference.
From Greentown. So hang on. We'll try to get to answer some more of these questions with Jennifer Brennan from the Chalet up in Wilmette. Bob X wants to know if you are as smart as the critters who want to chow down on your plants in the yard. We're going to have an IQ test here. No, we're not. But there are some things you need to be aware of when you do battle with the neighborhood critters. For instance, you can put plants in your yard that some sources consider critter resistant. However, like everything in life, that's a relative concept. Deer, rabbits, and other critters have preferences like people do. And when foliage is in short supply, they will eat anything they can sink their teeth into. Now, here's something else you need to know about. That's the deer population. Have you been paying attention in your area? I know that some municipalities are culling the deer, aren't they?
Some are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is really good. I'm glad. Are you on a deer trail? That might not be the smartest place to plant certain species. That's one of the, and forget tulips. You get, tulips and deer do not mix.
It's like popsicles for them.
Yeah. You might not want to just guess on how to protect your plants, but talk to the experts at Bobex. Give them a call at 800-792-4449. 800-792-4449. You can go to bobex.com to get the number. Of course, in addition to online, Bobex is available only at your local independent garden center. For example, the Fields Nursery in Joliet, Illinois. Perennial Artistry in Lake Barrington, Illinois. The Branch, Inc. in Highland Park, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Okay, sing it with me, Heather. What week is it?
What week is it?
It's Pink Week!
Oh, it's Pink Week!
What week is it, Heather?
It's Pink Week.
All right. What week is it?
Pink.
Week.
Pink's good.
If you missed Pink Night Friday at Lurvie Landscape and Garden Center in Des Plaines, no worries. You have through next Sunday to take advantage of their deals and that support breast cancer research. Lurvie's has Invincible Spirit, and I'm sure you know about that plant.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the first pink Annabelle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it won Best in Show at the 2010 IGC show at Nevey Pier. And if you buy one for your home or garden, or perhaps for a friend, that would be nice. Lurvie's will donate $3 from each purchase to the Breast Cancer Foundation. And if you stop in Sunday, by Sunday, you got all week. You could do it today. You can do it up to next Sunday, the 10th. And if you're wearing something pink, you get 10% off any purchase. I'm just wondering what the guys are going to wear. I'm saying pink trousers, guys.
Pink tie.
Now I want to see some guy wear pink trousers.
I do, too.
I got a pink tie. I can wear a pink
No, the guys
tie.
That wear pink trousers are the ones that are on the golf course. They're not going to plant.
Riddle me this, Batman. What about if they had a pink boutonniere?
Boutonniere,
that's what I'm looking for.
I would think that would work.
That would count.
I think so.
Buy a nice pink boutonniere. Do your part,
and you
then
get
wear
10%
it proudly
off
all day.
Any purchase. 10% off any purchase. And do you have pumpkins, gourds, and corn stalks? Just asking. A good time would be Friday 9th, and the Sunday, October 10th for Scarecrow Fest. Build a scarecrow for $1 and up. You bring the clothes. Lurvy's has the straw. There'll be a petting zoo, bouncy houses. I like that, bouncy houses. Pony rides and the all-new train rides for adults, too. And brats on the grill. For more information, visit lurveys.com, L-U-R-V-E-Y-S.com. Be a gardener for life by shopping at Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center through Sunday, October 10th at 2550 East Dempster in Des Plaines, just east of I-294. Lurvy's is a proud sponsor of the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. I'm going to play a little... Let's do roulette here. We're coming into the home stretch on the Mike Novak Show. We got to get a couple of questions. Let's try to answer these real quick. Where are those questions? All right. That came in over the line for Jennifer Brennan and me. Peach leaf curl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My Skinny Garden writes, and she wants an organic control for peach leaf. Explain what peach leaf curl is.
Well, it's a fungus that inoculates the leaves just as they're emerging in the spring. And then they get this orange, not orange, it's more of a reddish, real contorted, lumpy curl. The leaves all curl up, and you get these large, you know, indentations. And it weakens the tree because the leaves are contorted. But it doesn't really kill the tree. It just weakens it. And if the leaves can't produce energy, then the tree can't produce fruit, and it can't restore its root systems. Mm-hmm. And it looks awful. It looks just terrible. People are just very concerned because of how bad it looks. You have to treat and spray the tree with a sulfur based, you know, product. And sulfur is an earth-friendly, you know, natural. And, you know, they're the earth-friendly products you can spray during the dormant season, like in March, before the leaves leaf out. And that kills any of the spore that's on the leaves. You can also spray with the same sulfur-based fungicides that, you know, and it's elemental sulfur. And it protects the leaves as they're emerging in the spring. So it's easy.
All right, and one more question before we got to go on the phone here. Where's a great place to get leaf compost? That's great stuff for your garden.
Most great garden centers carry it. We carry, you know, our chalet leaf mulch, and people love it. And, you know, it's composted North Shore leaf mulch
It's leaves, folks. And this is another reason to save your leaves when they come down the trees. Don't bag them and have them go to a landfill. That's crazy talk.
If you can save them and mold them with a lawnmower and a bagger, you know, and save that and mulch them, then, you know, you've got a wonderful product. But if you can't do that, it's great to come and buy. We sell them in 1 cubic foot size bags, and most garden centers do that.
And one more real quick question in 20 seconds. Are those things sold as Hardy Mums now in garden centers, grocery stores, really? Will they be perennials in Chicago?
Well, here's the deal. You know, they are hardy, but the secret is getting them to root in, and they need 6 to 8 weeks to root before the ground freezes solidly. The trick is mulch them with 4 inches of coarse sand over the root ball. And after they finish blooming, you just deadhead them, leave the stems up, and that gives energy to the root system and helps them survive. And you get, you increase your survival to you know, instead of 6 out of 10, you can get, you know, 8 out of 10 to come back.
And I guess the rule of thumb on getting mums in the ground is do it before Halloween.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then mulch, you know, mulch. You can do that with any mulch with 4 inches of coarse sand right over the root ball, and it keeps it from frost heaving out. That's usually what happens. They don't get the roots, and they frost heave out.
That's Jennifer Brennan from the chalet.
Yeah, thanks.
Hang around to the end of the show. Uh-huh. At Lawn Planting Time, which is now, people ask me questions like, can I overseed my lawn with EcoLawn and let it gradually take over? The answer is yes. It might take several years to have a true EcoLawn, but it will happen if you overseed EcoLawn twice a year. Do it now and in the spring. And as Jennifer said, you can just throw it on the ground, or you can rake beforehand, add a little compost, overseed with EcoLawn, keep it moist. We don't have a lot of rain right now. Go to EcoLawn.com to get more information. EcoLawn is available at Lake Street Landscape Supply, 1810 West Lake Street in Chicago, or visit eco-lawn.com. A tip from the care of trees. We were talking about water. Some of us have seen rains recently, others have not. Even in autumn, keep an eye on rain totals in your area, especially if you planted trees this year or if you're They're 1 or 2 years old because they're most vulnerable at that point. Some trees have already experienced unusual leaf drop. And it's important that all of your young trees have enough water to get through the winter. Don't get fooled by cool temperatures. If the weather is dry, it's dry. Get out the drip hose, lay it at the base of your trees, and let it trickle for as long as a couple of hours. Evergreens in particular need to be hydrated as they can continue to lose moisture through their needles throughout the winter. Make the care of trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4222. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. We go immediately to line one. We bring in Mr. Greentown himself, John Harris. How are you, John?
Good morning, Mike. Thank you.
Happy to have you here. Greentown is coming back to Chicago October 13th and 14th. You're partnering with Seven Generations Ahead. Of course, you work for A5. And it's interesting. It's a brand consultancy firm, but, you know, I think of NGOs doing conferences like this. How did you get involved in it?
Well, we got involved in sustainability about 10 years ago through Ray Anderson of Interface, you know, a carpet company that decided to go green and has proved that you can be good for the environment and make money. And companies like Steelcase, and there are a number of other companies, a bunch of them, here in the Chicago area, many of whom are involved in your show, and folks like Mariani Landscape, Pizzo, and Associates who do ecological restoration. But the idea of Greentown for us, sustainability became very real and is a big part of our business, everything we do in trying to make healthy, sustainable communities. It just seemed to make sense to start an event or an experience like Greentown to bring together the public and private sector to foster conversations and start developing plans so that we could start to create, again, healthier and more sustainable communities.
So you say Greentown, is it specifically aimed at urban areas or specifically at Chicago or what?
This Greentown event is hosted in Chicago. We will do one in April in Elgin, and there are going to be a different set of issues out west in the Fox River Valley area than there are in Chicago. But Greentown does draw from around the Midwest, and we've had a few folks come in from outside the country as well.
And speaking of that, you're going to have Philippe Cousteau speaking. Is he the keynote?
Philippe Cousteau, the 33-year-old grandson of Jacques Cousteau, yes, and he's going to be talking about, obviously, the importance of water from a global perspective and our oceans and what's happening around the world. He was underwater during the height of the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, so we saw the devastation firsthand. But he's going to bring it all the way down to the local level here. So Great Lakes water issues. We had an oil spill in the Kalamazoo River in Michigan.
Oh, well, we had one here in the suburbs of Chicago, which I talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely. Same company. Same issue. And, you know, oil is obviously toxic. And it's been good for us for a very, very long time, but we're running out of it. And it's toxic and can create.
Well, you know, early in the show I was talking solar. I don't know why we just don't throw all of our weight towards that. Actually, I do. It's because there's a lot of corruption and a lot of big oil money with a lot of politicians, but we got to break free of that somehow. I don't know.
You're right. It's a lack of political will and a lack of political leadership, and we have an election coming up, and it's time to make sustainability and healthy communities. And moving forward, innovation, solar, wind, geothermal,
yep.
You know, some of the things that you talk about that we might think of as simple things, but how do we put people back to work by creating energy-efficient homes and energy-efficient buildings? You know, how do a green infrastructure with pervious paving, you know, planting trees, urban farming. We've got a session on vertical farming that's happening in Chicago, taking over a former industrial building and turning it into an indoor farm, so we can have healthy food, and we can do it hopefully year-round.
And that's October 13th, 14th, Columbia College's Film Road Cinema at 1104 South Wabash. I've got all the information, the link on MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. You're going to have the film Carbon Nation show on the 13th. We're out of time, but thank you, John Harris, and good luck with the conference.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it very much.
Take care. And don't forget, next week, very special show. We're going to be talking about Mayor Richard M. Daley's environmental legacy in Chicago. 2 hours, full 2 hours on the Mike Novak show. Please call in. Give us your opinions. We'd love to hear from you. So tune in next week. Thanks a lot.